পঞ্জাব বিহারে গোপী জানা বালা গিরে মদারে জয় মাধব কুঞ্জা বিহারে গোপী জানা বালা গিরি মদারে Yashoda na na na, Vaja Chana Ranjana Yashoda na na na, Vaja Chana Ranjana Chamunda Sina Manda
supposed to read a announcement about a nice opportunity for doing Sankirtan for Lord Chaitanya. Dear devotees, we have a booth at another vegan festival in Jacksonville, March 12th, 10 to 4. That's this Saturday. Always a great spot for meeting sincere souls and sharing Srila Prabhupada's books with. Please sign up for an hour or two. Rides available. It's on Riverside Park. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
We are reading the first step in God realization, Canto 2, Text 3. Nidraya hriyate naptam yavyayena chavabhaya divakkhate haya rajam katumba baranena va. Please chant. Nidraya, by sleeping. Priyate, waste. Naktam, night. Javyena, sex indulgence. Cha, also. Va, either. Vayaha, duration of life. Diva, days. Cha, and. Artha, economic. Ihaya, development. Rajan, O king. Kutumba, family members. Baranena, maintaining. Ba, either. Translation, purport by Srila Prabhupada. The lifetime of such an envious householder is passed at night either in sleeping or in sex indulgence, and in the daytime, either in making money or maintaining family members. The present human civilization is primarily based on the principles of sleeping and sex indulgence at night, and earning money in the day and spending the same for family maintenance. Such a form of human civilization is condemned by the Bhagavat school. Because human life is a combination of matter and spirit, the whole process of Vedic knowledge is directed at liberating the spirit soul from the contamination of matter. The knowledge concerning this is called Atmatattva. Those men who are too materialistic are unaware of this knowledge and are more inclined to economic development for material enjoyment. Such materialistic men are called karmis, or fruit of laborers, and they are allowed regulated economic development or association of women for sex indulgence. Those who are above the karmis, that is, the jnanis, yogis, and devotees, are strictly prohibited from sex indulgence. The karmis are more or less devoid of atmatattva knowledge, and as such, their lifetime is spent without spiritual profit. The human life is not meant for hard labor for economic development, nor is it meant for sex indulgence like that of dogs and hogs. It is specially meant for making a solution to the problems of material life and the miseries thereof. So the karmis waste their valuable human life by sleeping and sex indulgence at night and by laboring hard in the daytime to accumulate wealth. And after doing so, they try to improve the standard of materialistic life. The materialistic way of life is described here in a nutshell. And how foolishly men waste the boon of human life is described as follows. Namah Vishnu, Bhada Krishna Star, Bhattaya, Shimati Bhakti Vanaka Swami, Kina, Namaste, Saraswati Devi, Shesha Shimati Shesha. These are some very famous verses that Prabhupada was very heavy on, to the point of hitting right at home, literally. It's hitting at the heart of civilization, which is family life. And we've all been there and are doing it or have done it. And many of us in this room, I think, were raised in families that were not devotees, and we can verify that you were raised in a very envious household, and even from the very birth, like this child, you know, if it has another child, they'd probably fight over a toy. It begins from birth. It's mine. No, you can't have it. And then I remember being very envious of my sisters, and of course my parents were envious of the neighbors. You know, we didn't have a pool, we didn't have a tennis court like they did. They were in this club, we weren't in that club. And then it grows ultimately to the national level, which we see right in front of us today, envious. Totally into the bodily consciousness of life, which is a very low consciousness, and no one's really comfortable in that consciousness. Envy is not a comfortable thing to wear in your personality. Permeates the whole material life out there, because it boils down to that I am this body, and that everything should be done for me, everything should be mine. And it's a very nasty consciousness, and it makes the world a very uncomfortable place to be in. I was on Harinam the other day, and it was the first day of the really hot season, and I was noticing the apparel of the ladies. And it reminded me of a pastime, a perverted pastime. Lord Krishna, when he would play his flute, especially in the evening, he would entice all the ladies, and they would want to rush out of their house to go visit and associate with our Lord Shri Krishna. And there was such a hurry that sometimes they would put the top part of the dress on the bottom and the bottom on the top. Not sure how that worked, but I was thinking that these people were so excited to go out there in that nice hot weather, and they completely forgot to put some of the top and some of the bottom on. And it was like, whoa, you ladies, go back there and get some clothes on you. But they were showing off their body, you know. Everyone was envious, I could see, you know, because I've been there, done it. You know, I'm envious. Oh, that person's got a slender waist. Look at that person's got long hair just like I want it. And this person's got those hips and these shoes and that. And it was all on a display right in front of you. Everyone was out there to show it off. And it was this is just what this Bhagavatam is about. It's describing the consciousness of material life, that I am just this material body. But here it's saying that it's actually a combination of both material and spiritual. But unfortunately, this bodily consciousness of life has bought them all a reserve ticket to get another body. And this time, maybe they can get a thinner waist. Maybe they can get this or that. So it's a continual, perpetual Ferris wheel. And not until they really understand that they're not this body will they ever step off of it, which is really a shame, as described in these last two verses. It's just a real unfortunate situation that a human being is wasting this opportunity. But Prabhupada said it is natural that a man and a woman want to get together, have a wife, I mean, have a family, have kids, and try to enjoy this combination. So it's there. But the Bhagavatam is stressing in these verses the difference between the material type of life and the spiritual life that's described in the Vedic culture. As we know, the Grihabedi and the Grihastha are very different. The Grihastha life, the members actually volunteered to use their license, as we hear, you get a license for transgravitation, but with restrictions. They're willing to accept the fine print of the restrictions, especially in sex life. There was a discussion with Srila Prabhupada, and Papa was, you know, reiterating the point that, you know, you, for sex life in Krishna consciousness, you have to chant 52 rounds. You have to usually ask permission from your spiritual master. I want to have children, and then it has to be a certain day of the month, and everything like this. And then one of the disciples said, "Why bother?" And Papa said, "Yes, now you've understood. You know, why even bother?" But because it is that way in the material world that we do have these material bodies, but it has to be restricted. Therefore, Grihastha life is very different than Grihamedi life. But here is described that the actual point of Vedic culture, especially these steps of taking, you know, brahmachari and then household life and then vanaprasa and sannyas, are just steps in order to prepare us for leaving material life. And so this householder step is also meant to help us free ourselves, to untie those knots that keep us here again and again. So it's a matter of purification, all these different steps, different degrees of purification, and how householder life is also there. And of course, the easiest way for this purification is through the chanting of the holy names, which are there for everybody, except for the Grihamedi, who is in that deep, dark well and can't hear the holy names, who is bound foot and hands, and mouth, can't chant the holy name, can't take advantage of this wonderful, easy, simple, but sublime process of chanting. Who didn't enjoy the chanting this morning? It was so nice. And there, everyone could take part. So in this age, we can achieve this purification by taking advantage of the chanting. Otherwise, here is describing how the Grihamedi and the materialistic person is simply addicted. It's just like covered over, thinking that I just have to work. I just have to work and have to work and I have to work and I have to work. And this will be the achievement of my life, is to do it for my family, which is nice, it's responsible, but to work hard is a worthless endeavor. All these attempts are a failure at the end. All those years you put into working and maintenance, all those tears and suffering in the material world, it was just a failure. Which is really sad to think that all these people are working out there every single day at jobs that they don't even want to go to, and they do it for 40 years every single day. All that endeavor is a failure. Nothing has been achieved in that lifetime, simply a waste. So it's a matter of choice, and it's especially a matter of a choice of what we do decide to hear, which will change our consciousness from material to spiritual. The mundane you know, subjects, the mundane vibrations, they permeate everywhere. You can't go without it. You know, anytime you put your finger on that phone or computer, you're going to have, the media is going to give you whatever you want, anywhere you want, you can hear for your, you know, enjoyment, so-called enjoyment. But what it's doing is just dragging you down, it's dragging your consciousness down to the animal platform. Here, so many times, Prabhupada says it's just animal existence, it's non-different. And it's all because of what we hear, really, what we choose to hear. Sometimes it's forced upon us. You go in the grocery store and they're playing some mundane thing. Now Hitchcock's, they play it outside in the parking lot. You can't, you know, you can't get away from it. Some mundane sound vibration. And it does nothing but begin to contaminate you. Therefore, we can see such a different setting here. Here we are in the forest of, on the bank of the holy rivers, and these great sages are gathered there. They've chosen to travel there and to listen to the most wonderful topics of the absolute truth, which are soothing to the soul, and they satisfy your intelligence, and they're enlivening, all of these things. How many times have we read the Bhagavatam? Every time it's so much more enlivening, it's so much more relishable. We're not tired of hearing it by any means, by any means. We're anxious to, especially the second and third volumes are just like, oh, such nectar. I've been listening to a series of classes on this and on the next chapter, and I happened to be in Los Angeles when Prabhupada was giving the classes, and I can remember every single word of the class, you know, of how he said it, and it was just so ecstatic, and I could listen to those again and again. I know them by heart. But they go very deep. And so this hearing and chanting together in this movement is what's going to give our movement solidarity. It's so important that we gather together and listen to the Bhagavatam and listen to the kirtans, because this is what's going to hold us together and help us to transcend this mundane platform and really achieve something, become successful this lifetime. Let's make that change, and then together we can, with that solidarity, we can change the world. Actually, in the 1950s, Srila Prabhupada sat down and composed the Gita Nagari prophecy of the ideal, you know, Krishna conscious society. And it's more or less pictures small groups of devotees. I picture about 100 devotees as I read it. But there's the Brahmins, and then there's like 5 Brahmins that are the head, and then there's the most important thing is to have a temple, and then to have a school. To engage the children. And of course, it's agriculturally based. But the most important thing is that Prabhupada says that everyone must attend kirtan to keep that solidarity, to keep the consciousness strong, and to, of course, elevate all the different sections, even the sudras that are maybe not following the principles, but to move them up. So this is what Prabhupada really hoped that our society would come to. But the point was that he wanted the women and children specifically to be raised in this atmosphere so that they are barred from that vibration out there that is so contaminating, which is so polluting to the consciousness. And he could see that unless we had this nice, small, you know, concentrated of devotion, of devotees, that there would be influence, there would be infiltration. And we see that the householders struggle because we don't have that barrier. So it's an ideal society which hopefully someday the devotees will develop. Of course, Prabhupada always said, no matter where we are, and we will still have our temples in the cities, that there has to be a very strong sadhana, which is based on this hearing and chanting of the glories of Krishna. So this is the most important thing. I was also in Los Angeles when the first householders decided that they would move out and go across the street, and that everyone was saying, they're in Maya. They're Maya, Maya, Maya. It was just, just a few steps across the street. But they had to move out. It was getting to where they were having children, and it wasn't working out in the temple with the children. And so, but that was, we were very immature. We didn't really understand what Grihastha life really was, that it is an ashram, that is an important ashram. So as we mature, we see that it's actually a very safe position, since almost everyone, Papa said, would become householders. And so those persons being honest that want that license, that they take up this ashram and take certain vows, which are very important. But it's a platform, it's a strategic platform where you, because you're not agitated for, a wife or for this sense of gratification, that sense of gratification, always looking around for who's the perfect person, you could actually be on a platform where your senses are equated and you can think about preaching and spreading the movement. Prabhupada was so proud of the Grihasthas in the early part of the movement that helped him specifically take that initiative to spread the movement at great expense. So we can even see that if we look in history, that the previous acharyas, most of them were householders. All the great personalities on the altar right here, householders. So it's not a bad platform. It's a wonderful platform where you can actually be very successful in this lifetime by spreading Krishna consciousness and making your family Krishna conscious. So this is a meditation that the householder should have, that now that I'm in this, on this platform, that I can take up so much preaching. I can bring people to a higher level of consciousness. And in India, I think we read the other day, yesterday, maybe it was 2 days ago in class, where Prabhupada had written a letter to one Indian householder who was building a beautiful section on their house just to have the guests come, householders, devotees come and stay and have a nice facility. And Prabhupada commented that, yes, you're doing this service for the devotees, and I'm making you a house in Vaikuntha, into the spiritual world. So it can be very glorious. And the householder ashram is the biggest ashram, and it has the greatest responsibility. The biggest responsibility, because it's taking care of all the other ashrams. I know that whenever someone comes by and gives donations, if particularly like Jaman Jaya, sometimes people come by and give him a donation so he can do his service in the garden better, things like that. People come by the eco farm, give a donation, and it's so nice. They take care of the devotees and take care of the movement. So they do have a key interest in the whole society, and a key part. And this, what happens is that it cures the envy. If you're always thinking about serving someone else, there can't be envy. You don't serve someone, you envy. But if you keep serving everyone, then you won't be envious of anyone. So householders really shouldn't have envy, because they're serving in so many ways. Here they're tithing. The temple's running because of the householders' contributions. And it's so much appreciated. Again and again, Nukya is thanking everybody for their tithing. And it's also, if you see Shakshi Gopal and different householders of the community, always inviting people to come over and hear topics of Krishna. They have different speakers come, always anxious to feed the devotees. So this is also a wonderful service to elevate the consciousness, always getting to hear. And also they support the education. They run and support all the education for all the upcoming devotees, helping to train them. What a wonderful service. And of course they help with the deity worship. And if we look in our movement, many of them are beginning to take disciples, which is a glorious position to sacrifice. So you're sacrificing so much as a householder, and then to sacrifice your mentality, having to take on a whole another big service of helping a broader community of those who are wanting to become disciples. So this is really a very glorious position, and we should work very hard to work up to that degree. Even in the Veda culture, we see that that the householders were taking disciples, and they would their wife also, like even the, they would also teach. You know, they would become Guru Mata. The wife of the teacher would also help to raise the consciousness. So these are wonderful positions. And so to hear the message of the Bhagavatam is there for all living beings. Unfortunately, not everyone wants to listen to the Bhagavatam. They don't have that propensity to ask the questions, the real questions of life, and many of them are not willing to accept the answers. But these are, here the sages are giving the greatest questions. They're being glorified for the questions. And, of course, the answers are still being glorified today and all over the world. But those who don't want to hear, they're very unfortunate. And it's amazing how they can settle down into this materialistic life and realize that they're going to have to work the whole lifetime, get very little for it, and suffer horribly, and see, you know, the material life crushing around them, getting worse and worse, and still they're willing to bring living entities into this hellish condition and to work for them and to try to satisfy their senses. Somehow or other, they justify the suffering. It's hard to understand how they justify it, because it's so blatant in front of you. But somehow or other, they do. But every once in a while, they'll pinch. They get pinched by Krishna, just like this whole worldwide situation right now. A big pinch, a big wake-up pinch. It's not going to get any better. It's only going to get worse. But they have to understand, they have to be reminded by us that it's all because you think you're this body. It's all because of envy. So this must be obliterated, and it's a big job to do that. But Lord Chaitanya has made it very easy, because even if they're that dull brain, they have so much, Prabhupada says, cow dung in their head, that they don't understand this philosophy, at least they can get purified by the chanting and by the prasadam and by the vibration of the preaching of the devotees. Just like right now in those subways down or those tunnels down in Ukraine, every day now hundreds of plates of prasadam are going out, and they're actually beginning to see how sweet the holy name is and how sweet the devotees are. So this movement is so special, so important, that we maintain it and keep it very, very strong. And that we go door to door, we go street to street, and as Lord Chaitanya says, Jeev Jago, Jeev Jago, wake up, you poor householders that are suffering, sleeping forever and ever, eating so much, sleeping, eating, and sex life. I guess that's her justification, is they get to eat, sleep, and they get to have sex life. To me, sounds like a raw deal. So we have to wake them up and realize that there's a better deal, that in our houses and in our temples that there is some satisfaction, that I don't have to work so hard to enjoy. I just have to work harder on my chanting and on my communication with the Supreme Lord, because He is the reservoir of all pleasure. Prabhupada in Los Angeles one morning, he said that, what's the difference between that house next door and our temple? It's because they're not hearing. They're not hearing this Krishna Katha, which makes our life successful, putting Krishna in the middle. So this is what our service should be, is to how to spread this Krishna consciousness and give them a taste, let them experience the justification that we have, because we've experienced the higher taste. Therefore, we're willing to accept those little vows that make us strong, that might pinch us a little bit, but ultimately they give us the real satisfaction we're looking for, even in household life. So these are some thoughts, and maybe someone has some questions or realizations on these points. Prabhupada's purports are so wonderful. They're so blatant, describing the situation that we can see is out there. It's not in here. That's the most wonderful thing, is that we can walk around in this material world and we're like in a bubble. We're like in a spiritual world. We can see such a difference because it's a real thing. This Krishna consciousness is really working.
Haribol, I was thinking that the COVID gave the world a good solid failure, you know, and everyone was like so fearful of death. But as soon as it's true or almost true, people back to their normal sense gratification and carefree living again. But I think that fear should have bring us to the realization where we need to get more closer to God. Even in the devotees community, this is essential to know. And now we have this war, which people are fearful should Putin use his nuclear weapons, the world might doom, you know, but still, like, they're not waking up. I mean, I think, you know, but these are coming, these catastrophes are coming to wake us up. But somehow it seems like, you know, as soon as it's gone, back to the sense gratification.
But then Prabhupada said, as soon as it's gone, especially if it does drop or whatever, that people are going to come here and want, it said, preaching will be good. It'll be good. Actually, going out there now with them being feeling that pinch, I see that they're like shaking their heads. Yeah, I think you might have something here. And I find that they're, especially because I preach mostly about, you know, self-sufficiency and getting less dependent on technology. They're saying, yeah, I think maybe we better start doing something. So I think Krishna is working on it, and that we should be out there preaching more and more, because I think the ears are getting unclogged. I think they're anxious to hear more. So we should take advantage. Anybody else? Okay. Hare Krishna. Glory to Shri Prabhupada.